Brett Favre, Tim Tebow. We'll get to them in just a moment. Dura, how you feeling?
Not too bad. Not too bad. How about yourself?
I'm good. I'm good. Just, you know, just living dream. Just living life. Living the best dream that I can right
now. Oh, yeah. You betcha. You betcha. I'm with you.
Yeah. Okay. Let's, because it is late into the night, you know, there's been a lot of activity in this house within the last couple of weeks. So it's been impossible to, you know, try to keep up with everything that's going on right now. Not being able to properly prepare like how I wanted to. I'm just going to go and just mention a couple things that's just been... Actually, there's one thing I want to mention, but there's just an update that I want to share. It's about Brett Favre. We should know about this by now. But last year, when we was in quarantine in May of 2020, the Mississippi State Auditor's Office put out a report indicating that Brett Favre and several other people needed to repay, you know, their dues for not doing what they needed to do, mainly Brett Favre. He still has not paid the $600,000 that he needed to pay back to the state of Mississippi for the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program. He's yet to pay it, and he said last year that he would pay it back, and yet haven't done it. So it brings the question if he's ever going to pay it back, and if this is just a move that most celebrities like to do and promising something they can't keep.
Exactly.
So wasn't necessarily thinking about it. I just seen it in the headlines, and I just wanted to mention it. What is his name? Brett Tobias. Was indicted by the state court in our rating trial in the aftermath of the trial of the audit that they did that included Brett Favre. But they did say that Brett Favre did not commit any crime. Well, let me not say he didn't commit any crime. They just say he is not accused of a crime at this time. So, but he still has to pay back that money because they said that he didn't. He wasn't aware that it was for the TNAF. I believe it's TNAF. Yeah, TANF. that's the latest update on that. But then there's something that I just really needed to say that I saw today. I needed to kind of just kind of express my thoughts about Tim Tebow. Of course, as everybody knows, Tim Tebow is back in the NFL playing tight end.
Yeah.
And I think about Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah.
And trying to figure out that Tim Tebow has been out of the league for what? I don't know. Almost about a decade? Yeah, a decade. And he went to baseball and he did commentary and he's back in the NFL, and so I'm trying to grasp my mind around how did he get a contract, Colin Kaepernick didn't. So I'm sitting here and I'm asking everybody that's listening, everybody that's watching this segment on YouTube, do you not see the irony in this? Do you not see the hypocrisy that black people have been trying to point out for years and years and years? I don't know how many times black people have said that white people cheat. And Lori Loughlin was caught in that scandal of cheating. I don't know how many times black people have said we're getting beat up on the streets by police officers. But yet and still, Rodney King and George Floyd were physically caught on tape before all these other ones start coming out. And all we've been doing was telling you, I told you so. Now we have Tim Tebow got a contract before Colin Kaepernick. And a lot of people, and again, I admit it, and I've said it, that it's his performance to the reason why that he's not in the NFL. It is not the reason why he is in the NFL. It is based on what he did in kneeling of the national anthem at Donald Trump, then president, made sure that he put the fear of God in everybody as an owner to not re-sign him again. See, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, if that is not a narcissistic move, if that is not the most ignorant way of doing things, I don't know what is. You go and you have these protests that they supposedly call it with the insurrectionists, and they broke all kind of laws. But Colin Kaepernick kneels and he gets hell for what he did. And again, I admit it. I was mad when he did it. I didn't want to see that. I didn't want to see it. But we learn along the way. If you sit down and you learn, like how I had to, like how you had to, there's a reason why he did it. And we see it. We see it every day. One black person killed. Another black person killed. And before you know it, it's a pandemic. Just sweep it across the United States. That bugs me. I had to say that. What's your thoughts?
It's funny, like you said, that when Tim Tebow officially got the contract to be in the NFL again, which is the Jacksonville Jaguars, and at a different position at that, a different position at that, it kind of brought me back. It kind of brought me back to a lot of things, to when Tim Tebow actually was, what do you call it at the time? Tebowing. You know, kind of like praying, like right smack dab with like a touchdown celebration or in the middle of the field. You know, and he got booted for it. But it seemed like, evidently, along that lines, in that decade, from when he was booted up until now, he was forgiven somehow, and he has landed the contract. But now we look at Colin Kaepernick, and he kneeled. He kneeled because the irony in America right now is not representing what the flag is saying.
Right.
Period.
Right.
And the irony and the biggest thing about that is who recommended that to him. Another Marine native recommended that he kneels.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
That's what people also don't see. Another, a Marine, a guy in the Army, in the Navy, or in the Marine, recommended that he kneel.
Good point. Good point.
For that.
Right.
That's what people fail to see.
Right. Now, if you have a Marine that says, instead of just sitting, kneel, that should say a lot to everybody that is saying that they're disrespecting the flag. No, what Colin Kaepernick as of sitting was probably far more disrespectful than kneeling. But he did do it in a peaceful way. He didn't do it like how they passed this voter election laws and go down into the Capitol and use your white privilege to make them change their minds, pretty much intimidating them, threatening them. Colin Kaepernick kneels, and he got to be an SOB. He got to be a wrecker. He got to be everything in the book, but patriotic for actually kneeling and protesting in a very peaceful way that most of the NFL has started to support right up until Donald Trump opened up his mouth, and now everybody's brainwashed. Ridiculous.
It's ridiculous. And this dude, Tim Tebow, getting that contract, it's just like, who y'all really representing at this point? If Colin Kaepernick do not get a contract in the NFL, nobody's not going to believe what the NFL is doing. Mm-hmm. Whether you're doing on social media with change and social justice and stuff like that, it's all phony baloney right now until Colin Kaepernick gets a contract. Mm-hmm. Period. This is what this is. So people are going to have to just understand and realize, hey, we still have a problem.
NFL, exactly.
We still have a problem.
Yes.
We still have a problem.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
So that's how I feel about it. That's where my mind is at.
Okay. Cool.
That's where my mind is at.
Thanks for sharing. Thanks for sharing. You don't have nothing else in anything for platform talk. All right. So we'll be right back with the sports talk of our podcast. We'll be right back.
May 12th, the NFL officially put out the schedules for all 32 teams. So, I took the interest in actually looking at the Indianapolis Colts. So, here's what we're looking at in this case right here with the Colts. This is the schedule for the 2021 season.
Ooh.
Yes.
That off the bat do not look good.
What's that?
That don't look good.
Mm-mm. Are you just talking about the teams itself?
Yeah, I'm talking about week one, week two, week three, especially week three, yeah. Week five, week six, week seven. Week 8, week 9 might be a little bit of competition, but not enough. Week 10, 11, 12, 13, 15. The Cardinals going to be interesting. The 16th, or week 16, and I don't really too care about the Raiders. And then week 18, going to be interesting.
Okay. So, since you kind of brought up without the reason why I brought this up, my question to you is going to be this. Out of all of the teams that the Colts is facing in 2021, who do you think is going to be the most difficult that they face? The challenge as the early season, as we're not even in the season yet, we're just pretty much looking ahead, what do you think is going to be the toughest challenge when you're looking at this? Now, I'm going to eliminate the division, the AFC South, because we all know what that is. So we're eliminating that. So anywhere amongst that, what do you think is going to be the biggest challenge outside of the AFC South?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I'm not even really thinking about the AFC South. We all know that divisionals are always tough. But if I have to say anybody on this, scheduling that I think would be the toughest, I'm going to have to say, Seattle. Week one. Seattle. It's really a tie between Seattle and Baltimore, but I'm going to stick it out with Seattle.
Okay. I agree to the fact that Seattle is going to be the toughest in this right here. It's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. Seattle's going to be the toughest. Mm-hmm. But since you said Seattle, I'm going to pick somebody else. I'm going to tell you exactly who I think is going to be a challenge outside of the AFC South. This team right here. Let me see if I can put my stamp on this real quick. Let me see if I can do it.
Oh, yeah. The signatures of marking and everything else.
Oh, yeah. Here's my challenge right here.
Oh, the Raiders.
Right there. Nope.
I'm sorry, the Rams.
That is going to be the challenge.
That's interesting.
The Rams.
Yeah.
Yes. Because everybody, now everybody probably like, are you for real? Matthew Stafford? Are you flipping serious? Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford just as tough as a quarterback as Jared Goff.
Yep. He is.
He ain't no different.
Right.
Matt Stafford just don't have the thing I can say is Matt Stafford don't have the he don't have the presence of a Russell Wilson. He don't have the presence of a Ben Roethlisberger. He has his own unique presence, which caused rift and problems with him and who's the Lions head coach? I forgot that quick.
Well, it was Matt Patricia, but I don't know who it is now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can find that real quick. You.
They might have actually gotten a new coach.
Oh, I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did.
Yeah. Yeah. I forgot who it was that quick. But he has his own presence and people don't approve of that. People don't approve of that. And that has been the problem starting out with Matt Stafford. Now, with Jared Goff, on the other hand, is going to Detroit, that could be a better ordeal. But this right here, the Rams, is going to be the challenge for the Colts. That's going to be the challenge.
Dan Campbell?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, apparently, they did get a new coach. Wherever he is, but
yeah, like I told you, what was going to happen, that mm-hmm. Detroit was going to fire Matt Patricia,
mm-hmm.
and that New England was going to pick back up Matt Patricia, and that's exactly what happened.
They did. They picked him back up. And the funny thing is, and the irony thing about that is that he's not the defensive coordinator.
What is he?
He is. I'm glad you asked. I sure forgot what it was. I'm finding out right now. Well, Matt Patricia.
Well, nonetheless, I'm just going to say that I didn't think that Matt Patricia would make a good head coach anyway. I didn't think that he was that type of a mm-hmm. head coach to really, you know, do that. I think that most people that wants to be head coach needs to at least be some type of assistant before they become an actual head coach to, you know, grab some, you know, get some type of knowledge or something instead of just being a positions coach, because a head coach requires all of the team and not just a team in just one in particular section. It's an entire team. So I think they should always at least be some type of coordinator and assistant head coach before they become a head coach.
And as you say that, he is the assistant to the head coach for the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he's doing that instead of being a defensive coordinator, which I found very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they would have actually given him his job back and what it didn't look like.
No, they weren't going to put the dude that they already got in there for mm-hmm. a contract to do that. Yeah. Now, if he do leave, he probably will.
Now, it's funny because they did that with Josh McDaniels.
Mm-hmm. They really wanted Josh McDaniels anyway. But I think I think Bill Belichick's like, well, you already been a head coach. There's a few things that maybe that me and you can work on together to be more efficient. So when you do go back out for a coaching job, you'll be better. But mm-hmm. I don't think you could be better when you're cheated. But that's none of my business.
You just can't. So since you brought that up, I got another question. What would you think about this challenge right here? Right here.
Didn't the coach play them last year?
In the playoffs.
Yeah. It's going to continue to be a challenge. Mm-hmm. But I think the Colts have enough weapons to finally be able to pull out a win against Buffalo.
And believe it, of course, they was 3 points close
mm-hmm.
to winning
mm-hmm.
in the wild card.
Mm-hmm.
So
then they come back.
I
believe they did. I believe they were down.
Yeah, they was down, and they end up just falling apart, like in the last few minutes of the game. But like you said, they got enough weapons.
Yes, they do.
I think they pretty much picked their poise and they picked their battles on who they felt that needed their improvements defensively and offensively.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing back T.Y. Hilton was
a big kicker.
A gamble. Yeah, to me, it was a gamble.
Well, it needed to happen. I think it needed to happen.
It did. Oh, no, it did. It needed to happen. No doubt about it. It did need to happen. But it was also a gamble, too, at the same time because of him choosing. Because he wanted to stay, but he was open to other options, other teams. That's a big gamble.
He said that he said he was open, but he mm-hmm. pretty much was like, I don't think I would have left anyway. Because he did turn down big money from all of these NFL teams. So I wouldn't even call that a gamble because he would have went straight to him. So it's really that he really wanted to stay with the Colts if the price was right.
Yeah, if the price is right, yeah. And to consider that he wanted to retire as a Colt too plays a big role.
Yeah.
That plays a big role.
Yeah.
But that plays a big role in how he really wanted to be in Indy, how he wants to play for Indy, and he pretty much wants to retire in Indy. So that's a big explanation for that.
Yeah.
All right, so if there's nothing else for you, Derek, that's all I got.
All right, we'll be right back with the final thoughts.
Final thoughts, you got anything?
Just one thing. I just wanted to ask you a couple things. One, I just wanted to just, again, remind everybody of my podcast that is out. Afternoon Coffee Break with Darren Watts. You can find me all on the social medias. Afternoon Coffee Break with Darren Watts. You just find me, Darren Watts. And listen to my latest podcast episode, Candace Owens.
Wow. I haven't listened to it yet either.
And that's the longest episode that I've done since I started. It was a very frustrating episode. It was a very long episode. I was sick that week when I did it. Actually, I had allergies when I did it. And the one I'm doing now is just, all this stuff is draining. And it becomes very uncomfortable to do these things because I know a lot of people have different opinions and things like that. But you still got to push forth and do it rather, you know, if you want to or not. That's one thing.
Absolutely.
But the only thing only one other thing I wanted to mention in this, the Indiana Pacers are honoring Slick Leonard tonight. They already did it. But they're honoring Slick Leonard for those that don't know Slick Leonard, Bobby Slick Leonard. Won 3 ABA championships with the Indiana Pacers back in the ABA years. I think it was 19, it was back to back, 1970, 71, and 72.
Something like that.
Was 69 or 71, 72, or something of back-to-back. I don't know if it was back-to-back or back-to-back-to-back-to-back. But he won 3 ABA championships with the Indiana Pacers. He was a broadcast announcer for the Pacers as well. Pretty much after he retired, he went into commentating. He just passed away, I think, sometime last month. Something of that.
Something nature. Like that.
Yeah, so they're honoring him at Banker, was honoring him at Banker's Life for the game. It was supposed to have been, I thought it was before a game, but it's not. But they're actually just honoring Slick Leonard tonight. So that's what they're doing, either as of now or already did it. But just wanted to just share that for Pacer fans in the state of Indiana. But that's all I have.
Yeah. You should speak of that, that bittersweet, of course, as you could say, for the state of Indiana, with the Pacers, of course, clinching the play-in tournament spot, not to mention Slick Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Domantas Sabonis. My man's up here posted 15 assists last night. My man's up here clowning.
Hey, don't he got 9 triple-doubles on the year? I think it's not. Triple Dose on the year.
Mm-hmm. My man's up here clowning. Mm-hmm. Let me fact check myself. Because my man's up here clowning. Mm-hmm. And I'm loving it.
Yeah.
I think he had 15 assists last night. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Domantas Sabonis. Yes, he did. He had 16 points, 13 boards, 15 assists.
My man.
My man's clowning.
They're going to lose him. Just telling you that now. Pacers are going to lose him.
Why? He's going somewhere else?
I'm just, because if you haven't noticed, when you have a player that is potentially good, what do the Pacers always do? They get rid of him.
Always get rid of him.
They get rid of him. That's what's going to happen.
They do that with Reggie.
That's true. Well, what is his name? Donnie Walsh was a lot smarter than that. He was a lot smarter than that. Although he was not smart to get rid of Mark Jackson like that, but he ended up getting them back, which was good. So,
I personally feel that Miles Turner is going to be gone.
I feel both of them going to be gone, Miles Turner and Domantas Sabonis.
I'm feeling more of Miles Turner than I am Domantas.
Yeah, I mean, they can't get rid of Miles either, because he's still, when he's out there on the court, his defense is just phenomenal.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. It's real phenomenal. I just feel that they just have to kind of, you pick it up and you trade for it. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to buckle down and find a way to still keep these cats healthy. Because if y'all could do Reggie Miller, Mark Jackson, Dale Davis, Rick Smits, if y'all could do them the same way that y'all done back in the day, y'all need to be doing this now, because y'all wasting a lot of talent and wasting a lot of money trying to do this. You know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So, yeah. Other than that, so that's all I got. I just wanted to mention Domantas Sabonis. Dude was up for clowning. So.
Yeah.
But other than that, there's nothing else. We can wrap this bad boy up and get on out of here.
Yep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that is an edition of Double Take Sports Talk. Thank you for downloading and listening to our podcast. I am Daryl. Derek. It's right across from me.
Yep.
All right, catch up with another episode of Double Take Sports Talk. Until then,
ciao.
Ciao.